Hey everybody, it's Michael
and Xavier
from the Fantasy Movie Mashup. This week, we're going to provide you a little bit of an outline on how we're going to be doing the show now.
Yeah, so just to set a little groundwork or a little outline blueprint, it's subject to change as we get feedback. But right now, we wanted to do about a 20 to 30 minute format of length per episode. You guys can let us know if it should be longer or shorter, but we wanted to do something that didn't stifle our own creativity and but wasn't too demanding hours-wise. With that format, we'll start off by talking about something we've seen lately, whether it's good, bad, whatever venue it's come through, provide some back and forth feedback, maybe get those juices flowing so that we can get into our movie mashup factory where we come up with crazy, maybe legitimate ideas for what we'd like to see as an actual movie. And to top it all off, to end it, we will talk about something that we want to salvage franchise-wise. Last episode, for instance, we talked about the DC universe and how to save those movies.
And guys, just to let you know, this is uncut. We do not edit Fantasy Movie Mashup. Anything we say is what we said. So the first thing we're going to talk about is Free Solo. So it's a movie we just watched recently, and I think everybody's watched it or at least heard about it. And this is a movie that, A, makes you look into a human being's psychology of how fear works, as well as there are parts of this movie, it does not matter that you're not climbing this mountain, you're not climbing this sheer wall of granite, your hands just start sweating. And you know the guy lives.
Like, that's that's the crazy part. I've never watched a movie or recall a time where a movie, a documentary, invokes such a sense of the unknown about how the final outcome is going to be. Like, I watched an interview of the climber talking about the filming of the documentary, of the thing that he completed. And still, even then, when I was watching that movie, I still feared that he would not succeed. But I know he did. I know he did. Aside from that, a little backstory to both Mike and I. We have recently picked up recreational climbing. We do an indoor gym, top rope, trying to get into lead, but bouldering. So we're not crazy experts, but we've accustomed ourselves to a little bit of height and the some of the different types of holds you would hold, like experience while climbing. And I cannot, my hands, my palms become sweaty just thinking about it. Like, just not to have that back.
Like, there are certain things this guy does in this movie that by looking at it does not look hard. But when you actually attempt it, seems impossible.
Oh, yeah.
And that he was doing it with no rope, with the smallest margin of error, is insane. And the way the guy's brain works and how his relationship with his girlfriend and how his relationship with his parents, the guy is, he's a different type of person. And it's just amazing to watch him tell his girlfriend, would you, she asked him, would you stop if I told you it meant something to me? And he goes, no, that's not, I would never do that.
I think you've like proceeded to say it like a second time. Like, no, not at all. And not even, oh, honey, you misinterpreted me. I actually really meant to. It's like, no, you heard me. No, you do not rank high enough in my life to stop me from doing this life altering or potentially fatal act if you ask me to.
And she stayed his girlfriend. It is such a insane look of not just a free solo climber's way of doing things, but also an amazing look on the psychology of a human that has the ability to go up a mountain off of a face of granite and be 2,000 feet off the ground and do a move that could potentially kill him still do it. It's crazy.
Yeah, guys. Basically, long story short, you gotta go see it. You don't even have to like climbing. You don't have to like it at all. You can absolutely hate it. But like Mike was saying, just to analyze him as a social experiment, it is very fascinating to see that perspective. And it's just so many questions. So many questions arise from it. It was really good. Definitely deserved the Oscar. Excited for that. I'd actually be interested to see a lot of other movies with this documentary feel about athletes. I know like Netflix has a couple of them that's coming, that's been released from like European footballers, but it's interesting.
It is very interesting. So now we're going to switch over to Creation Hour.
So this is the segment where we talk about, aside from having a sip of my water, we talk about something that we'd like to see, whether, and regardless of what the inspiration is. I want to think, like, what would you like to see, Mike?
You know, it's very funny because growing up, I've watched and I've read a lot of like really good books and a lot of really good comic books where they actually mashed genres. Like, you know, the series where Batman was inside of Dracula's world, or Batman's with Ninja Turtles, or the Avengers meet the Power Rangers. Like, there are so many mashups you could do. And I know there's bad ones too, because there's movies like Zombies versus Vampires that are like the worst cringy movies of all time. But I'd like to see more mashups. Like, let's put John Wick versus Jason Bourne.
John Wick's winning that one, hands down.
But again, there's more than just one Jason Bourne.
Well,
the Bourne identity, like,
who am I?
There's a lot of people out there with the Bourne last name in this process.
Wait a minute. So, in the Bourne universe that you saw, every other one of those ages was with Jason, was Jason Bourne.
No, he was Todd Bourne.
Todd Bourne, Amy Bourne. Okay,
they're all Bourne.
So
just take everybody from that agency and put them up against John Wick. Now you got a movie. You got a bunch of crazy badass people against El Diablo himself.
The Baba Yaga. John Wick wins that. But okay, so if I'm going to play with this idea and I'm not going to just completely shoot it down, the movie has to commit. Like, the movie has to really commit to the idea of these two opposing forces with equal skill going at it toe-to-toe without any of those cockamamie gimmicky endings. Like, we've seen this type of mashup before where they either work alongside each other from the very beginning to achieve a common goal, or they start off as enemies and then they find that there's a common objective, another common enemy, I should say. Maybe they reconcile that they were misinformed about each other, and then they go and unite and attack some other person.
I don't want that.
I don't want any of that. I want it to be that they just go at it and they never team up. But then there has to be a winner. How would you determine the winner?
I at this point, since we have John Wick as like the all-star, I think he has to win this fight. He has to win. He has to win or nobody wins.
they just die. Boom. Bourne.
Let's look at their skill sets. Okay. So we know John Wick pretty much do anything.
Right.
Anything, like at all. And we know Jason Bourne, really good sniper.
Yeah.
Really good at, he has a really good understanding of counterintelligence as well as being able to blend in with his surroundings.
Okay.
Really good mindset, very athletic, abnormally athletic, can survive drowning.
Okay.
We know that some of the other agents have the same abilities, but not at the same intensity. So we'll keep it as like it's Matt Damon versus Keanu Reeves, because Jason Bourne was the number one. He was the baddest of the bad, and there was nobody better than him.
I don't know.
John Wick, who was the baddest
of
the bad.
Jeremy Renner's?
Jeremy Renner's character didn't have the same abilities. Like, he had to take the medication. Like, Jason was already, like, he was injected. Like, it was like the difference between, like, oral steroids. Yeah, it's like a difference of oral steroids and, like, I'm going to shoot you up the most amount of shit possible.
So what you're telling
me, like, it's regulated versus unregulated shit. Like, Jason Bourne is the Russian steroids. Jeremy Renner was taking American steroids.
American steroids. Jeremy Renner needs to take what Joel Romero steroids.
Joel Romero is like a, yeah, like that's the type of status Jason was. But John Wick has a lot of skills, but I don't think he's not on any supplements. He ain't got no picograms.
Well, he's got the inspiration of a passing dog, which, I mean, come on. What other incentive would you need in order to go to a no-holds-barred
with that logic,
and get a rampage?
With that logic, wouldn't the Key and Peele movie, Keanu, those two guys, then beat Jason Bourne?
That's true. I mean, I could see it.
I'm just saying.
Why can't Key and Peele take out Jason Bourne? Here's the thing, though, because like I'm listening to John Wick and I'm listening to Jason Bourne, and obviously I think of Keanu Reeves and I think of Matt Damon, but then I'm thinking like the movie is a mashup of who would win based off of all of their personas. So it's like it's not just John Wick that Jason Bourne's going up against. Like Jason Bourne's also going up against Neo, like,
the but then he's also going to get Ted for Bill and Ted.
Oh my God! Yeah, I mean, hey, he could either be the honeypot or the distraction. He's a sacrifice pawn.
But that's the thing is, like, if we do it that way, but if we're just sticking with John Wick and Jason Bourne, what they should do is then like, all right, Keanu Reeves fights Matt Damon. Whoever wins that fist fight will be the victor in the movie. And I'm sorry to tell you, Keanu Reeves, he's a bad man.
He's a black belt.
He's a bad man. I'm going to say Matt Damon loses that. Therefore, Jason Bourne loses in the movie.
So, oh man. That could be such a good way to market desirable casting. So, like, could you imagine if you tell two actors, hey, if you decide to do my movie, I'm not going to be able to pay you as much as you want. So, sorry about that. Not going to be able to pay you as much as you want. But if I told you, you take this role, you get to pick the person you have to physically fight in real life to then determine how the outcome's going to be in the movie. I feel like people who hate each other would sign up for that.
You know what we basically did? Is we just basically made the movie industry like the Joker.
Yes.
Here, guys. Here's sticks. You figure it out. Whoever wins will keep part of the game. The person that loses, kill them.
Right. And like, so... So people would lie. They're like, "Oh, you're telling me I get to beat up the other person, and that will determine whether or not I'm the victor." So many people would do that, and the best part about it is you can film a documentary about filming of the making of that movie and get another one because it would be a window into the human psyche.
You could charge extra for that Blu-ray. Like,
good. That's 4K.
People would buy that. They would be like, yeah, I'm going to watch this.
Yeah.
You know how many people watch fights on WorldStar and YouTube? Yeah. You imagine if you could see your two favorite celebrities fight it out for a job?
Like Celebrity Deathmatch, the clay figure, but in real life.
But like, not to the death. Because he needs to be able to fight again. He needs to be able to fight again.
I don't know.
Like, there might be some actors. Because what, like, we got to get Matt Damon versus Ben Affleck at least once. Like, they got to fight, right? Like, it's just part of it.
I mean, they're from Boston, so I'm sure they've fought beforehand.
Dude, that would be actually a fun fight to watch. Matt Damon, Ben Affleck, and Mark Wahlberg fight. Or Ben Affleck, Matt Damon versus the Wahlberg brothers. All three. The one that makes burgers, he's getting taken out like this.
I just picture the Wahlberg boys, and they have like magic suits. Snapping their fingers, they just turned it to the Jets in my head. I'm almost picturing like an Anchorman Ron Burgundy news anchor fight where they all just meet up. Oh my gosh,
that would be so good though. It just would. I could picture that in my head easily.
What would be an iconic So okay, if we're using this universe, this realm, what would be an iconic, like an actually, they hate each other so much that they would fight each other mashup? And then what would the movie be surrounding? Like, how would you then tie in what happens to them?
You know who I think needs to fight?
Okay.
I think Adrian Brody.
Okay, we're bringing the pianist back.
Adrian Brody.
Adrian Brody, okay.
Versus Benedict Cumberbatch.
Oh my gosh, the battle of the noses.
Like, they gotta fight, right? Like, those two need to fight to find out who is the weirdest out of them.
Who is the weirdest? That's such a broad spectrum. I'm like... Did they deem each other weird?
No, that's a personal opinion of mine that I find them very strange. And the winner fights Johnny Depp for the title.
But like, is it Johnny Depp currently?
Or yeah,
like,
Johnny Depp currently.
Oh, like, come on.
Like, weird Johnny Depp now.
Like, I feel like one shot to the kidney, he's gone.
Nah, he's probably bought a few kidneys in his life.
Oh my god.
He's bought everything else, so he might have bought a kidney.
Benedict Cumberbatch versus Adrian Brody to then fight. So then what would the premise be? Would it be like a kind of like a Mortal Kombat thing where they have to fight each other to determine who earns the right to then kill the final bad guy?
Yeah.
What if like Adrian? What if Benedict Cumberbatch won that fight?
Let's be honest, Adrian Brody, the Predator, he did beat a Predator.
Sherlock Holmes, sir. Sherlock Holmes.
He's also Doctor Strange.
He is. I don't know why I didn't go with Doctor Strange. That wasn't my first go.
Doctor Strange could stop time. Just want to put that out there.
That would be the more obvious choice, yes, you know.
All right, guys. We're going to end this show with the franchise we want to save. And the franchise we want to save is Transformers. Because, God, these movies have been awful. The first movie with Shia LaBeouf, pretty good. Not a bad movie.
I know.
I think it was a classic movie. But what they need to do to fix this franchise is take out the one thing that's not needed in a robot movie.
Michael Bay.
Not Michael Bay.
Excessive
tan. But Michael Bay is one of these. Okay. Human beings need to be removed from these movies.
Very Skynet of you.
let's get a Cybertron movie where it's just robot versus robot civil war. You know, the North versus the South, but robots.
Oh, God.
And I'm hoping it's less racism, but I'm pretty sure the Decepticons are racist.
Most likely. So for Michael Bay, he has an affinity for tan lines and flares and actions and explosions. So the current franchise, if I had to rank there, if you had to do like a point scale on how they rank, but I instead of saying stars, I say SPF levels. What would you say the current franchise is at?
Like a 5 SPF. Like, you're dying.
Oh my God. Science. You're just letting all the hateration in. And you just... You don't care. You don't care how bad you are.
It is a bad series now.
Well...
Did you even try to watch Bumblebee?
No, not at all. That's the first Transformers movie that I actually went out of my way not to watch.
And that's the thing is...
Yeah, it's...
Fans of the series have stopped watching this movie.
Right. Don't get me wrong. I don't think a lot of people still remember or have watched the original Transformers cartoons. And it shows that the movie actually just did not care if you had any recollection or knowledge, because the way that they discarded characters from even movie number one goes to show that they just, I don't think they believed that anybody really knew a lot of the folklore. And so because it was such a blank canvas, they didn't have to follow that spectrum. But you know, killing Jazz, killing like Ratchet, all these characters that were officers to Optimus, and just kind of discarding them, left such a bad taste in my mouth. Such a bad taste. So, yeah, SPF, zero, really. They just don't even care. They do not care.
It's because they're saying, okay, kids are going to watch this movie. We're just going to put Transformers on the title. It doesn't matter what actually happens. People will come and see it. And we'll make enough money to make another film. And we'll put some random star in there, like Mark Wahlberg, and we'll have a movie. But ultimately, the movie series is done. They need to stop, maybe even stop for a few years, and then come back after a reboot. Whoa. And reboot with no human beings in the movie. You gotta reboot with something big. You gotta come in with robot versus robots. And stop killing off the best characters. Start from the beginning and move forward. And don't come to Earth ever again.
Yeah, I mean, it's so perplexing because I am telling you that they operate as if they just don't care whether or not they're compliant. Yet they still kept themselves to the show archetype. I agree with you. They should... create a Transformers movie set versus robot, set in a fictitious place where the destruction and the carnage is more plausible and believable, and create the characters that you want. Create the villains, create the supporting characters, the serious ones, the melodramatic ones, just create them all on your own and just say, hey, you know what? We're just going to play around in the Transformers universe. That way we have a blank slate. I think people would be more receptive to a creative new idea within the universe than to try to regurgitate it. Because at the end of the day, I would love to see things in nerddom have more movie franchises. But to kind of flip it and contradict myself a little bit, in the essence of, I think fans have a really big say about that. I get so frustrated seeing how programs or projects are canceled just because people give such negative reviews because they didn't see what they specifically envisioned. It's just not possible.
Or, you know what? Let's call it Transformers and make a Gundam movie.
Hey, I'm Michael Ballou, and I am still petitioning a Gundam movie.
It doesn't make any sense.
The wall wasn't enough.
It doesn't make any sense. If you're going to just remake Transformers over and over again, and it's this bad, just try to make a Gundam movie. A Gundam makes sense to have humans in it because they pilot them.
Yeah, I never really got that. Like, what are the mechanics behind the Transformerverse? Like, where is that kid? Where is Witwicky sitting in conjunction to Bumblebee's body?
Like, he's dying. In all actuality, I don't think there's a place, once Bumblebee becomes Bumblebee, there's a place for him to hide. I think he just dies. Like, I don't know how he survives all these gears and everything getting hit. And then if Bumblebee gets hit, you're definitely getting crushed.
Oh, that's true. I mean, the mechanics behind, or I guess the physics behind what is happening, it is weird. Driving the car, there's no point.
He can drive himself.
Like, literally. Bumblebee, I mean, does Shia LaBeouf know how to drive?
Now, the question is, does that mean Elon Musk has created Transformers?
Listen, if any human being on this planet can either, one, replicate a Transformer or have contact with sentient life and orchestrate some sort of IT tech advancement, it would be Elon Musk.
Well, guys, thank you again for listening for Fantasy Movie Mashup. We'll see you in episode 4.
Boop, boop.